Vajra, 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 Vajra.
Thus let it be known that I, the goddess of justice, have taken up my abode on this earth in a more tangible manifestation than ever before. For I have decided that it is time to add a momentum of divine justice, the flame, the living flame, the streaming flame of divine justice to this earth. For indeed, one of the major challenges facing humankind and facing individual spiritual seekers is to solve the enigma of justice, to find out what is justice and what is injustice, and indeed to ponder the larger question, is there any injustice in the universe? The Goddess of Justice is the office that I hold. Portia is the name you have been given. But I am, of course, far more than you can fathom by hearing a name or by hearing the title of an office. For indeed, is it not so that one of the things we have attempted to help you see in the releases we have given through this messenger now for quite some time is that the major challenge on earth is indeed the fact that people's perception has distorted their view of reality because people have come to believe that a limited, a colored, a biased perception is the same as reality. Thus, one might indeed talk about the spiritual path as a process that has several turning points. And one of the major turning points is when you come to that level where you are willing to begin pondering the question, is what I see truly reality? Or is what I see a distorted image? And then beyond this, the even larger question, can my current perception show me reality, or do I need to go beyond my current perception in order to know reality? And as we have attempted to help you see, the answer to these questions is indeed that your current perception is not showing you reality, and that you can never know reality as long as you think you have to look only through your current perception. For it is indeed your perception that you have to overcome before you can know reality. For how do you know reality? You do not know reality through the outer mind, through the separate linear analytical mind that can only operate with objects that it sees as being remote and separate from itself. The outer mind can only know at a distance. Yet in order to truly know, you must come into oneness with what it is you seek to know, but you cannot come into oneness with an object. You can come into oneness only by you letting go of the outer mind, the separate sense of identity, and coming back to the state of pure awareness And from that state of pure awareness, you can come into oneness with the consciousness behind objects, or with a consciousness that is beyond objects. And thus you can know through gnosis, not through perception and understanding. So then, how would you come to know divine justice? Well, only through gnosis, through becoming the open door whereby the spiritual flame of divine justice can stream through you into this world. But you see, becoming the open door for a spiritual flame requires you to completely empty yourself from the outer perception-based view of the flame that you are seeking to come into oneness with. So let us take a look at the concept of justice, even the concept of divine justice. The image that most people have in their minds concerning divine justice is of a female figure in flowing robes who is holding the scales, one being lower than the other. And then this female figure has a piece of cloth wrapped over her eyes, for she is supposedly blind. Well, my beloved, is this an accurate depiction of divine justice? Am I, the goddess of justice, really blind? Do I not see? Oh, indeed, I do see everything that is going on earth. It is indeed the dream of the ego that divine justice should be blind, so that the ego can hide itself behind an outer facade, an outer definition, a mental image of what is divine justice. From the very moment that the first beings fell in that fourth sphere, they have attempted to set themselves up as the ones who define what is divine justice and what is not. And thus it is their dream, the dream of the fallen beings, that the goddess of justice should be blind. But I am not blind. I see all, and there is nothing that you or anyone else can hide from me. Do you really think I can be fooled by anything on earth? Oh yes, my beloved, there are many people in embodiment who believe that I can be fooled, who believe that they can hide from God what they can hide from each other. This is a state of consciousness that colors your perception, because you think you have become as a god defining good and evil. Do you not realize? Well, perhaps you do not realize, but then it is time that you begin to question whether the Bible is the infallible word of God. For indeed, I can tell you that the story in Genesis about how the serpent tempted Eve into eating the forbidden fruit was not written by God. It was written by the fallen beings. It is the fallen beings who have attempted to create man in their image and likeness. For if you take on the image and likeness of the fallen beings, then you too are trapped in the duality of knowing good and evil, of thinking you are a god who can define what is good and evil, what is just and unjust. Yet this is a state of consciousness that is based on separation and duality, and therefore it is fundamentally different from divine justice. For what is divine justice? Well, you cannot understand divine justice unless you understand free will. And yet, the fallen beings have done everything they could think of. And, in fairness, they can think of quite a lot to make sure that no one on earth understands free will. Again, of course, you cannot truly understand free will as a remote concept. You can come into oneness with the river of life so that you are flowing with it. And then you will know that free will truly is free. It is free to express whatever the presence wants to express on earth. And it is free from all the constraints created by the fallen beings, by the mass consciousness, and by your own ego. You cannot be free to express your will freely as long as you think you have to live up to any standard on earth. And of course, when God first gave self-aware beings free will, it was not the Creator's intention that they live up to any standard on earth, as the earth was not even in existence, and as the first beings had not fallen, and so there was no beings in the fallen consciousness to impose any standard upon the beings with free will. But do you not see that it is only the dualistic mind that can create, that can define a standard for what is good and evil, just and unjust? It is only the separate mind that creates a standard. This is what we have attempted to help you see since Mother Mary first released her wonderful book about the abundant life, where she gave the concept that you are not a self that can be defined according to any standard or mental image on earth. You are a self that has no earthly, no worldly, no form-based definition, for you are pure awareness. You are designed to be the open door and nothing more. You see, my beloved, as a wise student on the path, you need to come to another turning point where you realize that words have inherent limitations. Read the beginning of Maitreya's book if you are not fully familiar with the limitations of words. Any word can be twisted and turned, and you can use words to support just about any argument you desire. They are those, my beloved, who love to use words as weapons against their fellow men, playing some power game of trying to convince them or force them. You will see these throughout history. You will see Jesus being up against them. You will see the Buddha engaging them somewhat without engaging them at all. And you will see that they always come up Whenever the living Christ appears in any form, there are the wordsmiths, the word twisters, who will seek to use clever interpretations or words against the living Christ. You find them everywhere. You find them anywhere where the living Christ appears. So you have a choice to make. Will you twist and turn words? Or will you go beyond words? Will you become the open door that you may experience the reality of what it is you seek to know, such as divine justice? Is there any injustice in the universe? How can there be, when the ultimate law of the world of form is free will? Do you not understand that free will is free? And it is individual. You are an individualized extension of the Creator. You were not created as a separate being, but as an extension of the Creator. Yet, the moment you were individualized, you were given completely free will to experience anything you desire to experience. And you were then sent into a world that has the potential to give you any experience you desire, because the matter light can take on any form that is projected upon it. And the mother, the divine mother, has vowed to take on any form so that you can have any experience you desire. This is the simplest, the most basic form of divine justice. You are free to create any mental image you like and to project that image upon the mother light. And then the mother light will reflect back to you circumstances in the world of form that reflect the image you have projected. This is the most basic form of divine justice. What you sow, that shall you also reap. Can it be any more simple? Yet, those of you who have been willing to study and apply the teachings on non-duality that we have been giving now for several years should be open to understanding a secret that very few people have understood. It is the essence of how the fallen beings, or should I even say the fallen consciousness, has tricked self-aware beings into the endless struggle. Do you not see what I have just told you? You can take two different viewpoints, my beloved. You can look at life from the inside of your current situation, your current state of consciousness, your current perception. Or you can use your ability to return to pure awareness so that you can see the big picture and look at life from the outside. So let us then step outside of the mental boxes and look at the big picture. What have I just explained about how free will and the universe works? You have completely free will. But how do you actually exercise your will? You exercised your will by making choices. But what are choices? If you are walking down the road and you come to a point where the road forks into a Y, you are now facing a choice. Should I take the right or the left road? Yet, what if this road simply forks for a time, goes through two tunnels that are exactly alike, and then the two branches of the road merge back into the same point? In that case, do you actually have a choice, given that following either road gives you the exact same experience and brings you to the exact same place? In other words, whether you choose the right or the left, there is no difference. It has no consequence. And in that case, do you really have a choice? Yet, if the roads now go off in different directions, give you different views, different experiences, and take you to different places, then you can indeed be said to have a choice. But why do you have a choice? Because there are different consequences depending on which road you take. So what makes it possible for you to exercise your will is that there are consequences of whether you do this or do that. If there were no consequences, you could not exercise will. And so how do you produce consequences? You make the choice to form a certain mental image. Then you project it upon the matter light, and the matter light takes on the form of your image. Thus, you produce your own consequence, my beloved. This is a truth that is very difficult for most people to accept. It is completely impossible for the ego and the separate self to accept this concept. For the ego will never, ever take responsibility for producing consequences. And in a sense, you cannot blame the ego for this when you understand why the ego was created. So, let us take a look at this. Of course, it is all well and good for me to say that you have individual free will and you produce your own consequences. Yet, as the old saying goes, no man is an island. The reality is that you were not created as a single individual sent into an entire world where you are the only being and therefore you are the only one making choices. You were created as part of a large group of beings that were sent to some planetary system in the material world. And thus, you would exercise your free will within the context of a larger whole where there were many other individual beings also exercising their individual will. This is actually a mechanism that ensures more rapid growth. Because if you were all alone in your own separate world, it is very possible that you would get yourself into a state of mind where you were highly comfortable and you could stay there for an indefinite period of time. And thus, how would you fulfill the original point and purpose for creating you, namely that you grow in self-awareness until you reach the level of God consciousness? And so, In the infinite wisdom of the Creator, it was clear that by creating many individual beings and putting them together in some greater whole, such as on a planet, then they would make more rapid progress by observing each other, or even if they chose to enter a certain state of consciousness, clashing with each other. And so, what has happened in most of these, should we call them planetary units that you find in this material universe, is that after a long period of experimentation and conflict, a certain coherence has emerged. There are, of course, millions and millions of planets with intelligent life throughout the material universe, and a vast majority of them have indeed gone through this period of initial, what scientists like to call chaos, but which is truly just the outplaying of free will, until you have seen, as scientists have even observed, can happen in certain gases, that the molecules, the individual molecules, gradually or even suddenly come into alignment. And this is what has happened on most planets, where people have experimented, where beings have experimented for a time, clashing with each other, challenging each other, conflicting each other, but then they have gradually realized that there is greater joy in working together on a higher union, a higher vision. And so they have come into coherence, and now they have put their planetary unit in an upward spiral, in an ascending spiral. So you see indeed that the entire material universe is in an ascending spiral. Yet when you look at this universe, you see that there are still some planets. Not a large number compared to the total, but a large number if you look at just the number, that have not entered this ascension spiral or have not passed this point of the phase transition where coherence emerges. Planet Earth has entered an ascending spiral, but humankind has not yet come to this point where there is the phase transition that aligns the consciousness of most people to a higher vision, a higher oneness, a higher unity. And so, what is it you see then on these planets where there is still chaos, where there is still conflict between people? Well, what you see is this. The conflict is a product of the mental images that the beings on a planetary system are holding in their minds and projecting upon the matter light. The matter light is simply taking on the form of what is projected upon it, and thus creates a planet with physical conditions and a society with certain conditions that outpicture these mental images. Do you see what I am explaining here? You, as an individual, have created a mental image in your mind. You are projecting that mental image upon the matter light, and the matter light is simply reflecting back to you the consequence that you have chosen to produce by the way you have exercised your free will. Now, of course, you may say, but I have not single-handedly produced the situation that exists on Earth, and you are quite right. Humankind has collectively produced the current situation, but why are you on Earth? Well, because you have taken on the same kind of consciousness shared by the majority of the people on this planet. And thus you will see that you have been part of creating the current situation on Earth, and thus what you see on Earth is a consequence of the exercise of free will. Yet, of course, this might be possible to see when you project yourself outside of your current state of consciousness, your current sense of self as a separate being. But it is not possible to see this when you are looking at life from inside your separate mind, your separate sense of self. When you are looking at things from the inside, you will think that the situation you experience on Earth is not the result of your own free will choices or even the choices made by humankind. You will be susceptible to believing in the lie projected by the fallen beings, that what you are experiencing is something that was forced upon you by an external force, be this the angry remote God in the sky, or other people, or some immutable laws of nature created by mere chance. Do you not see that the main thought systems, be they religious or scientific, materialist or political, found on this earth, portrays you as a victim of circumstances beyond your control? And what does this victim consciousness cause you to do? Well, it causes you to think that the only way to improve your situation is to seek to change the outer conditions, to change the consequences. And thus, the most simple mechanism applied by the fallen beings in their attempt to tie you into the ongoing dualistic struggle is indeed to get you to struggle against consequences. Yet, do you not see why this will never give you peace of mind? My beloved, imagine that you are in a movie theater. You are looking at the movie that is playing on the screen, and you decide that you do not like the movie. But since the movie is appearing on the screen, you now get it into your head that the only way to change the movie is to change the screen. So you get out a bucket of black paint and a paintbrush, and you start painting the screen black. And yes, that does change the movie somewhat, but it is still the same image that is being projected at the screen. So how much can you really change the movie by changing the screen? For is the movie not produced away from the screen? Is it not so that the image on the screen is a consequence of a cause that is found somewhere else? And in the movie theater, the cause is the film strip in the movie projector. But do you not see the parallel? What you experience on Earth is a consequence of a cause, and the cause is found in your consciousness and in the collective consciousness. If you think you have to fight the consequences instead of changing the cause, you will inevitably turn your life into an ongoing and potentially never-ending struggle, although the struggle will certainly end at some point, as mandated by the law of free will, that although you have free will to have any experience you want, You do not have the right to have that experience, to remain in a certain experience forever. And so, divine justice is simply that you have free will to make choices, but that you will experience the consequences of your choices. Because when you go into a certain state of consciousness, you will magnetize yourself to a planetary unit where the majority of the beings have that same state of consciousness, and thus you will inevitably be tempted to go into a struggle against other people with the same state of consciousness, or against consequences produced by the collective state of consciousness on that planet. Yet it is also divine justice that no planetary unit is an island, and therefore the inhabitants of a planetary unit cannot do whatever they want without being connected to the whole of the material universe. And so if the entire universe is in an accelerated ascension spiral, then the inhabitants of a planet like Earth will be connected to that spiral, and thus, in order to resist the ascension spiral, they must exert greater and greater force. And this, again, intensifies the struggle. Now, you may say, if you look at this from inside the struggle, that this is then forced upon you by this external God who is forcing you to be connected to the ascension spiral. But things are not quite that simple. For the reality is this: if a planetary unit was an isolated unit, and if the inhabitants of that unit really could take their planet into a downward spiral without being connected to a greater whole, well, then that downward spiral would very quickly accelerate to the point where the planetary unit would be destroyed, and the beings who were then responsible for that spiral would have no other way to go than through the dissolution of their individuality in what has been called the second death. And thus, if the Earth was not connected to the whole, then the Earth would long ago have self-destructed, and the beings who brought it into that spiral would have destructed with it, and thus they would no longer have free will, the opportunity to choose. And so you see, indeed, there is no self-aware being that can exist independently, for it is an expression of the Creator's own being. And of course, the Creator's being, the Creator prefers that all expressions of its being go through the ascension spiral. The Creator has given you an incredibly long time span and has given you free will to decide which road you want to travel on the way to the ascension point. But there is an underlying law that states that you must go either up or down, that you cannot stand still, for that would be against the purpose of creation itself. And it would indeed be against the purpose for which you have chosen to enter this spiral that is creation, that is the world of form. For regardless of the images created by science or various religions, the world of form is not static. It does not stand still, nor is it cyclical in nature, going from one state to another, back to the first, back to the second, and so forth indefinitely. The world of form is an upward spiral that has a clear direction and a clear purpose. You may fight against it, that is your choice, but you are not fighting against God or God's plan. You are fighting against the consequences that you have created and that those on your planetary unit have created collectively. And thus, do you not see what is the simplest definition of Satan? It is the consciousness that causes you to fight against consequences instead of taking the Christ perspective or simply changing the cause and thereby also inevitably changing the consequences. And so what has happened to those who have gone into this consciousness of fighting consequences is that they inevitably get sucked into the epic mindset created by the fallen beings, which is indeed that something has gone wrong with God's plan, with God's original design. And this, of course, can exist only when you believe that there is a standard for evaluating what should or what should not happen, and that you are the one who can define that standard, or that those whom you consider to be the ultimate authority on earth can define that standard for what has gone wrong with God's plan. And once you accept that there is such a standard, you are easily sucked into the epic struggle of now seeking to change what has gone wrong according to your definition. And this inevitably leads you to the conclusion that what has gone wrong is that some people have exercised their free will in a way that threatens God's plan for the universe. And thus it is your job to change these people either through direct physical violence or through persuasion of seeking to in any way persuade or manipulate them into conforming to your standard, your mental image of how the earth should be. This then is the consciousness of Satan that Peter attempted to put on Jesus in that crucial situation described in the Gospels, where Jesus turned to him, looked him sternly in the eye, and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." For Jesus was committed to the greater process of God's plan for the universe. Jesus has volunteered to take on the role of the living Christ, to come into embodiment and to let people trapped in the dualistic consciousness do with him whatever they wanted, yet demonstrating that whatever they did to him, they could not change him, for he refused to see himself as being bound by consequences, ever remaining true to the reality that you as an individual being are not a consequence. You are a co-creator, which means you have the potential to be a cause and to change the consequence on earth. But how do you truly change the consequence on earth? You do not change it by fighting current conditions. You change it by taking responsibility for yourself and saying, "I am an individual existing in this planetary unit. I do not have the right to violate the free will of others, but I do have the right to not let their choices violate or limit my free will, and therefore I have a right to take responsibility for my own state of consciousness and to change my state of consciousness and to express a higher state of consciousness regardless of what the majority on this planet are doing, so that I may be a light in the world, a light that is set on a hill and cannot be hit, so that those who are willing may see it as an example and be inspired by it without me having to fight them or force them or persuade them in any way. I am simply the light of the world. I am the open door for the light to shine through my being. And thus, I am the open door for the flame of divine justice, or whatever flame you desire to be the open door for that will stream through you. And it is not that the light goes in and becomes some specific teaching that challenges other teachings. For as I said, that which is expressed in words has its limitations. The entire teaching given by the ascended host throughout the ages has no value in itself. For once it becomes a disconnected teaching that exists only in the form of words, then it is just another teaching in words that can be argued against indefinitely. It has value only when people go beyond the teaching and use it as only a tool to attune themselves with the consciousness of the ascended host and then become the open door. For how will you know the goddess of justice? Not through an outer teaching formulated in words. You will not know me as long as you see me as an object that you can know from a distance. You will know me only when you go beyond your mental images and become pure awareness that you become the open door through which the being that I am, the stream of consciousness that I am, may flow through you and express itself on earth. And then you will know me. Then you will know the goddess of justice. But I am an ever-flowing stream, and I will be who I will be. At any moment and in any situation, I will express something different, for my goal is not to express some ultimate truth. My goal is, in any situation where I am given entry in this world, to challenge people to come up higher, to transcend their current state of consciousness, their current mental box. And thus my expression will be adapted to the current mental box and adapted in such a way that it gives them an opportunity to transcend it, to take the next step, not some ultimate step that they are not ready to take because it is far beyond them. This is how the living Christ expresses itself on earth. Whenever someone becomes the open door, then the greater consciousness, that is the ascended host, will express itself according to the situation, always seeking to raise up all life, never seeking to put down any form of life. Do you not see that there are so many people who are attempting to put down others? First, they are attempting to control others, and then when some people will not be controlled, they attempt to put them down, even destroy them or punish them. And this is indeed because the fallen beings have projected this false image of divine justice, which says there is a standard for how you should exercise your quote-unquote free will. Well, if there is a standard, then your will cannot be truly free, can it? And so they have even projected that God has set a standard for how you should exercise your free will. And thus, they say that if you do what is wrong according to this standard, then you deserve to be punished. And thus you will see that on planet Earth, the concept of justice is inextricably linked to the idea of punishment. Yet, God has no desire to punish anyone, for God has no need to punish anyone, because God has given you free will and God has set up the matter light to reflect back to you the consequences of your own choices. So who is punishing you, my beloved? You are. You are punishing yourself. Who is punishing humankind? Humankind is collectively punishing itself through the choices made. And until a critical mass of people awaken to this reality and decide to stop fighting the consequences and instead change the cause, which is their own state of consciousness, well, until that happens, humankind will not reach that coherence point where they can unite around a higher vision. Instead, they will remain in the current state where they will continue to struggle against each other, only, of course, given that the entire rest of the universe is moving on, the struggle will become intensified until it eventually becomes so much that people say enough. We have had enough of this. There must be a better way. And of course, many people have already reached that point. And thus, we are indeed optimistic that as the planet moves forward in the coming years and decades, we will get ever closer to this turning point. Yet, of course, there may be some very serious confrontations that will take place before then, for there certainly are many people on this planet who are blinded completely by the consciousness of Satan, where they think they have to fight the consequences of their own choices instead of changing the consciousness that led to those choices. And therefore they think they have to fight other people and seek to change other people's state of mind instead of changing their own state of mind. Do you not see that this one mechanism is the cause of all human conflict? You think you have to change other people's minds instead of changing your own mind. Right there, my beloved, you have the cause of all conflict and the cause of all so-called injustice on this planet. For do you not see that the law of free will mandates that you have no right to seek to change other people's minds? When you do so, you are violating their free will, and they will feel this as a violation of their free will, even if they do not understand the law of free will. And thus, if they cannot escape your violation of their free will, then they will sense this as an injustice. And of course, this is all designed by the fallen beings to trap people in this endless struggle of fighting against each other because they seek to force each other's will, thereby violating each other's free will and creating the sense of injustice. And so it goes on and on and on. How will it ever change? Only by those who are the spiritual people coming to see that you are not here to change the minds of anyone else. You are here to change your own state of consciousness until you become a light that is set on an hill and cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see that this light cannot come from you. It must come from a greater source. You have not produced it. You have become an open door for it. Ah, my beloved, this is the true goal of the Christed beings. It never has been, and it never will be the goal of a Christed being to fight against others, to punish others, to put down others, to expose others according to your standard, to judge them, or to change their minds in any way. If you will experience the greatest form of personal freedom that can be experienced on earth, then you need to give up the idea that you are here to change anyone else. This is an incredible freedom, my beloved. Do you not see that I, Portia, have also been called the goddess of opportunity? What is the greatest opportunity for you? It is that you let go of the desire to change others. For when you have a desire to change others, where does your attention go? It goes outside yourself. But where did Jesus say that the kingdom of God is to be found? Did he not say that the kingdom of God is within you? So as long as your attention is directed out, seeking to change others, how can you find the kingdom within yourself? And thus giving up the desire to change others is the greatest opportunity for you to go within and realize the simple fact. You have been given individual free will. And the ultimate meaning of this is that you have complete freedom to choose your state of mind, because your state of mind does not depend on anything outside yourself. Yes, you are living on planet Earth. Yes, there are many things on this earth that are impinging upon you, even seeking to force your free will. But you still have the potential to go through those things and retain your peace of mind. But you cannot attain this peace of mind as long as your attention is directed outwardly, seeking to change others. You will attain peace of mind only when you direct your attention inward and seek to change yourself, your own state of mind. That is when you have the opportunity to manifest Christhood. And then when you become the open door for the light to shine through you, then you will give other people an opportunity to see that light and either accept it or reject it. But you are not giving other people an opportunity by going out there, trying to force them, trying to enlighten them, trying to make them see what you think they should see. This is not giving them an opportunity to escape the struggle. This is only in enveloping them or yourself more deeply in the struggle. Become the light. Become the open door. Then you give people an opportunity. And then you have the opportunity to be in the world without being affected by the world, but truly being the open door for the joy and the love of the presence to flow through you, whereby you will feel at peace, you will feel fulfilled in expressing and experiencing the God quality of your presence flowing through you. This is your greatest opportunity. And yet, we of course know that this is not simple to attain. For people who have been in embodiment in many lifetimes in the density of this struggle consciousness, those of us who have been in embodiment know this full well, for many ascended masters have indeed spent many lifetimes in the consciousness of the struggle, even thinking that they had to work for some ultimate good by struggling against other people, as you see in the lives of several masters. Nevertheless, how did they become ascended masters? They did so by coming to the realization that you can never win the ultimate battle, but a struggle will never end until you transcend the consciousness that created the struggle. And so, in order to give you an opportunity to transcend that consciousness, we have decided to release these latest four invocations. Here, as we are coming to the halfway mark of the Year of the Mother, to give you an opportunity to sail through the rest of this year without being involved with the struggle, as you may indeed likely see that the rest of humanity will become more and more involved in the struggle in the last half of this Year of the Mother. And so, look upon these four invocations as a supreme opportunity for you to pass the initiations of the Year of the Mother and also to make a contribution to helping the rest of humankind pass these initiations and indeed transcend the consciousness that needs to be transcended in this year. This is our hope, that you will look at them this way, that you will make use of them, and that you will allow these very intricate statements to change your state of consciousness. For truly, it is one thing to read a book or a dictation, but it is another to have a teaching expressed in the form of an invocation, where you do not read it with the intellectual mind, but it goes into your consciousness at a deeper level, and therefore has a much more transformative effect than anything you just read. For again, you will not be enlightened by thinking that enlightenment is some object that you can study at a distance. You will be enlightened only by becoming first pure awareness and then the open door whereby the stream of consciousness that is enlightenment can flow through you. For enlightenment is not a static state, despite what many spiritual teachings portray it as. It is indeed the living, flowing river of life that is ever-changing, ever-self-transcending, because it is always in the process of being more, at any moment being more than it was before. This is life. Life is constant self-transcendence. Death is still stand. Therefore I say, as has been said before, choose life. For if you do not choose life in the year of the mother, then it will become much more difficult to do so in the year of the Holy Spirit and in succeeding years. Thus, choose wisely and use these invocations to help you transform your state of consciousness until you are not making this choice with the outer mind. You are connecting to the deeper choice that brought you into embodiment. And thus, you are not actually making a choice with the lower mind. You are flowing with the river of life. You are flowing with a choice already made by your higher being and with those of your brothers and sisters in the world of form who have also joined this river of life. Thus, my release is complete. Make use of it as you see fit, for I give you complete freedom. Yet, I will let you know that I have also given you, with this release and these four invocations, a complete opportunity to escape the consciousness of the struggle, the consciousness of Satan, so that you can come to the point where you do not even need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," for Satan is no longer in front of you, for what is in front of you is your I Am Presence, and beyond that, the ascended host and a hierarchy of beings leading all the way to your source, the Creator itself.